Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Verse 18 together. They will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Glory to God. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we want to take this off the pages, install it in our hearts, and release it to people who are around about us that they may experience the miraculous power of Jesus. Lord, we don't come here as a futile effort each week to just praise you and worship you and not see the manifestation of who you are in practical senses, Lord, that we will see our needs being met and a world being changed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ and people being resurrected from all the misery that the world's been throwing at them. God, I pray today that your spirit would fall upon us in a new, fresh way. That God, we'd experience all the Bible says we should experience. And Lord, we will give you all the praise, all the honor, all the glory, all the majesty. In Jesus' name, everybody shout amen. Yeah. Glory to God. You can go ahead and be seated for a while. We'll see what happens. Oh, when it comes down to miracles, I tell you, when you start talking about the work of God, individuals will have allowed the Holy Spirit to be the tuning fork that makes them recognize the promptings of the Holy Spirit without resistance. God wants to tune you up. Now, nowadays, I remember when I was a kid, I worked at a service station. They used to have tune-up cars. Now they plug them in and do weird things to them, and they're supposed to do better. I don't know what they do to them. But they'd have to change a few things in your life. You have to change your spark plugs. Some of y'all are a little dead. You need to be sparked up a little bit. They have to adjust your carburetor. You know, some of you say, carburetor? What you know about carburetor? So a little gas comes through you so you can get a little power going on. I used to have a GTO. I had tri-power. Thank you, Jesus. I didn't have one. I had three carburetors to get me going. But what I'm trying to say is that God wants to tune us up to that we will not resist the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Miracles are simply driven by favor that defies explanation. Miracles are often hindered by our limited understanding of things that we think we know. Now, I forgot to get my illustration up here, but I think I don't really need them physically up here. I would borrow them from the kids' church. How many of you ever played with Legos? I should say, how many of you never played with Legos? Did you live in America? Legos is a phenomenon because it's such a small little thing, but they do you realize they produce over 14 billion Legos every year? 14 billion every year. You think they just outdo the particular. Well, here's another thing. If I was going to take six Legos up here, so imagine I've got six Legos in my hands. It's just six. Or stack them up any way you want to. How many variations of six Legos do you believe there are? Somebody give me an idea. How many variations would there be? So shout out something. 30, okay. Somebody else. Higher. 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 There are 935,103,765 variations of six Legos. Thought you knew something, didn't you? The reason why I use that illustration, we think we got these six here and said, oh, it couldn't be any more than that. That's the same way we do with miracles. We contain it in what we believe is possible. And I said, there is no way, 900 and that many million, and look it up, go ahead, Google it. I know you're going to Google it, go ahead. But that's how many variations of six Legos. So if something in the scientific realm, call it scientific if you want to, can have that many variations, how much out there is there out there that you don't know? How much is there out there you have not experienced that God is able to do? Somebody wave your hand at me and say, I don't know as much as I thought I knew. That means that God has got things beyond your imagination, beyond your dreams, beyond your comprehension that he wants to release in your life if you're ready to receive what he's got for you. Come on, I need some faith in the house. If we're going to jump in the deep end of the pool here in a minute. If we can do that with Legos, what can God do with faith that has been placed, completely trust in God to accomplish only what he can bring it forth for his glory? All of a sudden, it doesn't seem so impossible if you can do that with six Legos. All of a sudden, you reach a different realm of thinking, of comprehending. I have two questions and one statement. Number one, are you willing to allow the Holy Spirit to nudge you out of your comfort zone? I'm not going to just give you a little nudge, say, you know, there's something you want to experience. Just let me give you a little nudge into what we call the supernatural. How about this? Number two, will you accept God's forgiveness for your past failures to embrace a future joy and hope of walking in obedience to his leading? You know, a lot of reasons why we don't experience miracles, because we don't listen to his leadings. Isn't that right? How many, if I only had listened, if I, we need to turn that if into the fact, I will. I'm going to respond to God, but the last, number three, is a statement. If you seek miracles, you will probably not find them. But if you seek Jesus, miracles will find you. You ought to write that down. That's one of those revelations from Jesus. Let me say it to you again. If you seek miracles, you probably will not find them. But if you seek Jesus, miracles will find you. I dare you to get up every morning and start seeking Jesus. And all of a sudden, God is going to use you to be his agent of miracles flowing through your life. What does that mean? Well, my first statement today would be, God has you where he wants you, even if it's not where you want to be. That's where we're going to start our discussion. Some of you are trying to move from where you are right now. God said, I got you right where I want you, even if you don't want to be there. I got you there. I got a reason. And when it's time for me to move you, I'll move you. So stay where I put you. Whoa! Luke chapter 18, verse 53 kind of opens up the story for us, because it gives us an idea that sometimes we just don't quite get the idea of. Oh, excuse me, I said 1850. Where did I get that scripture from? No, it should be 1835. I'm sorry. 1835. But it happened as he was coming near Jericho that a certain blind man sat by the road begging. Notice the word certain. Specific. There could have been several blind men there. And he's begging, because that's what he knows to do. When you have no resource, when you have nothing coming your way, you sit there and beg, you hope somebody will hear your cry, have pity on you, to get you out of your situation. Well, let's get into the story. Many of us are sitting on the sidelines waiting for something miraculous to happen. Sitting and waiting. Jesus gonna move someday in my life. Well, we're going to move you a little closer to what's happening. We're seeking help from those who pass by. So he's sitting on the roadside of Jericho, and for those people that pass by, he's just hoping that somebody's going to put something in his, a cup or something on the ground. I don't know what he had. But he's waiting for something to happen. We see ourselves marginalized by circumstances that cause us to seek out others to survive. Now, many of us, we don't want to admit that that's the way we are, but it's kind of left to that. That we kind of get the crumbs or the runoff of what other people are doing, and we kind of make it our own and make an existence out of it. We've heard about Jesus and are hoping that he can better our condition. And you know what I find out? That many people come to church week after week, even though we preach the Bible, preach the gospel. But it's almost like they're hearing it for the first time, or they just haven't applied it to the fact that this could really happen to you today. That God could change your condition. It's not always a miracle of some physical healing, but there's a mindset that needs to be changed to the point where you've kept yourself paralyzed from even producing or going further on in life because you feel like you're frozen in time over some curses that were spoken over your life, that you'll never amount to anything. You're not smart enough, you're not good enough, you're not good looking enough, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All these things are holding you back from being all that God wants you to be. But I'm going to speak something over you today that God, that's not God's report on you. Even though you're by the wayside, but I want to tell you how to get out of that condition. Well, we're hoping that Jesus can better our condition. We must be willing to call on Jesus based on what we believe he's able to do. And that's a problem. But this man evidently has processed some information a little bit differently than perhaps we have. The blind man called out to Jesus based on what he had heard Jesus was able to do. I'm going to call out to you folks. What have you heard Jesus is able to do? Shout out something to me. What's Jesus able to do? Heal anything. Get out of the anything for a moment. I want to be specific with me. Restore. Can he heal folks? Can he deliver folks? Oh my. Can he supply your need today? These are all the things that Jesus does. But here's the problem, is we've sit in a situation, but all of a sudden, this man processed this information, and Jesus was coming by his way, and he didn't want to miss the opportunity. You know what? We come to church every week, or we're even in our own house, we miss the opportunity every day to allow Jesus to be who he says he is. You know why? Because we don't call him. Ooh, I'm going to show you why. So, someone told him he's passing by, and he cried out, Jesus, Son of David! You say, what is wrong with him? It don't take all that. And that's the reason why you don't say nothing. Because you tried that one time, and people said, would you knock it off? You're annoying. It don't take all that. But he was not concerned as to what people might think of him or his belief system. He took the risk of embarrassment in order to be heard over the crowd. I'm not going to ask anybody ever had an embarrassing moment. I'll take it the hit for you. Ever said something stupid, done something stupid, and everybody saw what you did? It's kind of hard to disappear. Frame like mine does not easily fold into the crowd. But you do not need to know what to say, but rather who to turn to. Based on what this man had heard, even though he was a blind man, there were people, no doubt, that saw him on this road before, and they heard, there's this Jesus person in town, and he heals sick people, and lame people are being healed, and he probably overheard the fact that Jesus heals people that are blind. And then he began to process, if anybody can heal me, Jesus can do it. But there's a crowd of people around me, and if I don't call out loudly, he'll never know I'm here. My question to you, do you want to stay blind or do you want to embarrass yourself? You say, oh, well, I guess Jesus wants me to be blind. I'll just drink the bitter cup. Really? Okay. People will try to prevent you from coming to Jesus. I say this to parents when they have kids and they want to get to church. The devil can get in your children. Oh, yes, he can. Lose his shoes, do all kinds of strange things, have a meltdown. I know, am I preaching? Oh, yeah. Oh, they do that. But sometimes you have to say, you know what, in spite of this, we're going. We're going. Because anytime he tries to hinder you, God's got something for you. Anytime there's resistance, because all he wants to do is to keep you away from what God wants you to have. We have to press through the hard times, the difficult times, when you just flat out don't feel like it. That's the best time to come to church. But some of you, oh, I got a tickle in my throat. Oh, Lord, help us. Yes, indeed. People will tell you you're not that important and your case is hopeless. So he starts, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. They say, will you shut up? You have been a blind man all your life and Jesus don't need all this racket. But some people may be familiar with your circumstances, have deemed you as being a lost cause. I want to talk to people who've been marginalized, who've kind of accepted, I'll always be this way. This is my identity. I'll never be anything beyond who I am right now. Look at this. The true test of our faith is not our actions, but our reactions. The blind man did not allow the crowd to stop him from getting Jesus' attention. He pleaded for mercy because that was what he really needed. And if you're ever to the place in your life where you feel like, oh, I don't really need mercy, I just need an opportunity. Really? He wasn't so embarrassed to say, you know, Lord, I need mercy. People around me don't want to give that to me. But Lord, I know your mercies are renewed every morning. And God, today, if there's one thing I need, I'll never make it without your mercy. I need your amazing grace applied to my situation. Well, we all need the mercy of God. It's a daily renewal. But Jesus stood still and waited for the man to be brought to him. And this is what I want to tell you about this story. It's just so amazing. We'll fold it into something else for a moment. But, you know, so Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near to him, he asked him, I want to ask you something. What do you want Jesus to do for you today? Oh, that's kind of scary. Let me think of something easy. I want him to give me a safe ride home. Will that work? You need to stop this idea of trying to put something out there that you think will probably happen so you won't be disappointed. Oh, I'm working with you right now. You got to take your faith beyond your zone of what you believe is possible that can happen. We want to make it easy for Jesus to make it happen. Leave the hard stuff alone. Here's the options that the blind man had. He could have said, well, Jesus, the numbers have been down. I haven't got much money to make it. So could you cause more people to come by so I can get more money so I can stay here and be blind the rest of my life? Could I just get an increase on my salary? I don't mind being blind, but I just like to have an increase in my salary. That's what we do. We find something that we feel is doable, that will better our situation, but we don't really ask God for what we really want or really need. Oh, it's going to get tougher now, so don't leave now, because otherwise you will know. What prevents you from asking Jesus for what you truly need that will glorify him? Well, he said, why'd you put glorify him on the end? That kind of takes me out of the zone. Everything we do, everything we have, should bring glory to God. I want to erase that thing that's in your life that you just want it because you want it, and realize that everything that your life should bring glory to God. And a lot of things you don't think will bring glory to him really will bring glory to him. But he'll change your mindset on stuff. Here we go. So Jesus says, so miracles seem to take make time stand still and pause for us to receive what we need. In other words, it's like all of a sudden this time to stand still, but for that moment, God's working something out that's totally miraculous. I got to just go back for a couple of years, if you don't mind, for a moment to remind you, I was in Africa. I was elder in Africa and this type of thing. It's one of those situations where you don't have time to figure it all out. It's one of those situations, you need Jesus right now. Anybody have a right now need for Jesus, or well, can it wait? Oh, well, it can wait. It's not really that bad. I want to talk to the right now people. So we were coming back from a thing we did, an outreach out there with Open Arms International, blah, blah, blah. We're going down the road. Some of you know the story. I'll say it real quickly so you don't have to be bored with all the details. We're in Africa, and of course, in Africa, they drive on the wrong side of the road. They're a British country. They're over. I mean, the people normally are over here, they're over there. I'm thinking, this is strange anyway. So all of a sudden the guy waves us, the truck in front of us waves us on that we can go past him. So we get out in the lane, go past him, and all of a sudden the lady's driving the car. The truck starts moving us over off the road, down in a ditch, close to the river. The car is starting to turn over. And I'm saying, help me, Jesus. But here's the thought that came to my mind. I had to look it up in my notes to make sure I didn't make a mistake. A thought came to my mind. I did not come to Africa to die in a ditch. I'm serious. The Holy Spirit brought them to my eyes, and I said, and the only things I could say was three words: Jesus, help me. The other people in the car, they were recipients of my prayer. But I was in the car. I didn't say help us. I'll be honest. I said help me. Come on. Now, if you get help, that's okay. But I want to tell you, I need him to help me. And I mean to tell you, God's angels turned that car right side up. Now, this is at 4:00 in the afternoon. There's cars going back and forth. All of a sudden, there was nobody on the freeway. We went back across the freeway, got ourselves in position, and all the cars came back. I tell you, I can have people on this stage that will tell you that's exactly what happened. I want to tell you, God is a miracle worker. All you have to do is call on him. He can do it. So anyway, I said, I don't really believe in miracles. I have a word for you. Actually, two words. Shut up. Because God wants to do exceedingly beyond what you could ask, think, or even imagine. Let me get back to this. We must be ready to express to him what we believe about him. We must believe Jesus for the end results that we want to experience. And so Jesus asked, he says, what do you want me to do for you? He went for the gusto. He says, Lord, that I may receive my sight. I want to talk to you people here today that are afraid to even tell Jesus what you really, really want. Don't be afraid. Because these last few minutes, I want to build your faith with some things I think are very important. Number one, we must be specific with our expectations of Jesus. We must allow faith to take us where our fears are reluctant to go. And our faith is the agent that acts upon the power of God to bring about healing. Well, let's go to John chapter 14, verse 12. The Lord is expecting us to do great things. John chapter 14, verse 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Do you know this is not only the most controversial, but the most challenging verse in the New Testament? Why? Because it says a couple of things. First of all, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Let's stop there for a moment. I I know you probably can't imagine, and neither can I, even though God's done some miraculous things. To do the works of Jesus, there's a number of reasons why we don't believe that or can't comprehend that, is because we think of all the sins we've committed, we think of all the times we've been unfaithful to God, we think of our past and present and whatever, but that doesn't change what Jesus said. I'm glad about that. But the part that will get you and will mess you up is greater works than these he will do because I go to the Father. We all have a shelf life. We all have an expiration date. I know that. But some of us have not even explored or allowed the Holy Spirit to use us to the capacity that he's placed within us because of our fear of making a mistake or being unworthy or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We'll get to those things in just a moment. Let me build a case even further for this. This is the boldest statement in the Bible that was ever made. We cannot rationalize it to fit our way of believing and thinking, but we have. He who believes in me are going to do the things that I do. Yeah, but Jesus was saying that. It was back in the days before they had medicine. They had all the various things we have now. Now we have hospitals, and we have all these other different things that we can diagnose things. We can take care of folks, and we have all these facilities that are available to us, so we really don't need that. Really? Would you like to go to a psychologist for a year, or would you like Jesus to heal you instantaneously? Let me know. Let me know. How's that working for you? Would you like to go through radiation therapy for all the rest? Would you like Jesus to touch you and take care of it right now? Which way do you want to have it done? And there's nothing against those things. Folks, I'm not anti-medicine. I don't have a doctor. I got my health card. Hello. But you know, if I never have to use it again, I will not be sad. Especially for those special examinations. Everybody comes in here and say, oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And you poor ladies, they mash and squeeze on you at various times. You know what I'm talking about. Hey! I'm just talking real. And God says, I'm your provider. I'm your healer. I'm the one who will take care of you. Well, that means as we follow Jesus, we will seek to do the things that he did. Well, number one, honor the Father and all that he did. Let me get a little political on you. We'll care for the poor, poor folk. We won't think about it twice. We'll just feel like, you know, God, you know, listen to what Jesus said. I've got a message for people who are poor. And then one of the things that Jesus did, it's really a tough one for people to comprehend. And Jesus was a foot washer. Oh, boy. I'm going to bail. Now, I can do all the other stuff, but the foot washing thing, that's not in my wheelhouse. Honey, your wheelhouse is going to be changed. I'm just seeding the clouds for now. But the reason why I say that is if Jesus can do it, and this isn't an act where you makes you popular. It's a fact where it shows you who you really are. When you come to serve people and you don't care how you serve them, you don't care how you look when you're serving folks, folks, you can get to know Jesus if you do that. Then, when we serve in Jesus like this, we will offend those who are caught up in religion without a relationship. When you start serving Jesus, the religious folks are going to come after you. They got plenty to tell you about. Oh, that's just all that. Oh, that's not necessary. That was back in Jesus' time. You don't have to do all that. It's grace, grace, more amazing grace, greasy grace, you know. Just slide on in there. Sometimes you have to do the natural before you'll experience the supernatural. Oh, boy. Some of you are at your Red Sea. Remember Moses and all these folks following after him? He's led all these folks out of Egypt. And in front of them is the Red Sea. There's several of you here, you're in a situation you don't know how you're going to get across it. And you're afraid to go up to it. You know, God's saying, keep forging ahead. But you know what happened? When Moses put his foot in the waters parted, and they went through on dry land. I want to tell you, keep on moving forward and don't be afraid of the waters in front of you. Step your foot in the water and God will take you safely over to the other side. And everything that's coming after you will be drowned in the river. You know what that says to me? There's urgency that happens to us, that some of you are on the precipice of this thing. You say, I don't know what I'm going to do. I do. Put your foot in the water. It ain't going to hurt nothing. You got nothing to lose. Pharaoh's after you. Can't you hear the clinking and clanking and stuff behind you? I got more for you later. Just hang with me. Hang with me. Some of you need to march around Jericho. One time, do a lap. Leave it alone. Next day, do a lap. Leave it alone. Finally comes the day, says God, says, go around this thing 7 times. And then he says, and then I want you to shout! He said, what's that going to do? That's your problem. In my intellectual perspective, I feel that these walls are several feet thick, and the preponderance of sound against these walls would not make any impact upon them. Matter of fact, they would be even more stabilizing. The hollowing effect could probably cause an aberration off the rocks, if anything at all. I say, verily, you are a knucklehead. You do the shouting, God will do the tearing. Your shout is out of obedience. Other than that, that's all it really, honestly, truly means. You know what the shout is? It's a shout of faith. Because God told you to do it. See, some things that God tells you to do really don't make sense. Really? I'm almost there. There was a man named Naaman, kind of high official. And Elijah the prophet comes along and he has leprosy. And the Lord tells him, he says, I want you to go to the Jordan River and dip yourself 7 times and your leprosy will be gone. Now, that's not really a problem unless you realize that at that particular time of year, the Jordan River was overflowing. And it was probably like going to take a mud bath. And Naaman wasn't happy. Matter of fact, he said, and matter of fact, Elijah didn't even come out and talk to him. He says, yeah, go tell him to have that and everything will be fine. You have to lose your pride to receive what God has for you. Some think, oh, that's possibly so dirty in the Jordan River. Absolutely beyond my dignity. Then keep your leprosy. If we follow Jesus long enough, we will collide with the things that we thought to be impossible. Here's some very simple facts. Miracles are a violation of natural law. We often try to explain them away, explain what we cannot explain. There is a fine line between discernment and skepticism. What does that mean? Some of us feel like we're prophets and we're not. Your prophecy or your, oh, I just kind of discern. No, it ain't discern. It's your skepticism. You don't believe it's going to happen. So you use your skepticism to try to deflect what God told someone to do. Oh boy. Discernment is separating what is false from what is true. That's true. Skepticism is a predisposition toward belief because of past disappointments. Let me read that again for you. This definition, I try to give some definitions that make sense. Skepticism is a predisposition, or you've pre-made up your mind toward disbelief because of you've been disappointed in the past and you don't want to experience disappointment again. Now, let me tell you this without any hands being raised. Many of you will not respond to what God is asking you to respond to because of past experiences, and it didn't work out. So you're basing today on what happened in the past. Let that marinate for a moment, and let me bail you out of it shortly. Dormant disappointment will keep us from reaching out in faith. John chapter 20, verse 31. We know the scripture, but I just have to bring it out again. But these signs are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. That means that all these things that were written in the Bible, and John's saying this, all these things are written that so you believe. All the miracles, all the things that are recorded by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're all written so you can believe. Not to taunt you and make you feel like, it's not going to happen to you. Really? Come on. When we ask God to help our unbelief, it's a sincere desire to remove all obstacles that will prevent us from experiencing what he desires to give us. I want you to stop right now and ask God to do this. Lord, remove my unbelief. Don't say it out loud, but say, Lord, I don't know what it is, but there's something within me that is a roadblock, but I trust in faith you can remove that today. Because that'll be the difference between you receiving what God has for you and you just living out in this place where the devil says, got you locked down. Well, what about this? The greatest miracle of all. The greatest miracle of all. Are you ready for this? Is forgiveness. Not only forgiving others, but forgiving yourself for all the times you doubted, all the times you failed, all the times you made promises to God, to other people that you didn't keep. Before we will do anything today, if we can deal with forgiveness, that opens the door to everything that God has for us. But you leave unforgiveness in that particular place, don't experience it. Don't expect anything to happen. Wow. Now, forgiveness releases miracles, working power in your life because you're acting in faith that Jesus demonstrated on the cross toward all those who rejected him. That's the reason why forgiveness is so powerful. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Even forgive this man on my left or right, whichever one he was, who says, if you're the Son of God, do this, do that. Forgive him too. If you fear God, you have nothing else to fear. Now, here's something that I didn't really know. I was reading a book the other day and told me this. Do you know that you are only born with two fears? You know what they are? Fear of loud noises and fear of falling. Every other fear you have right now, you learned it from somebody or from a situation. And from that particular thing, the fear was, oh, I can never do that particular thing. Whether it's finances, whether it's, trusting a relationship, it's all the rest of them learning, and you told yourself, you made a promise to yourself, I will never put myself in that position again. I'm afraid of that. It will take me out. So therefore, we put up a fear blockade there to keep ourselves and to preserve ourselves. Fear has torment. Let me challenge you on this. Everyone has someone in their past that has done us wrong. Everybody does. I don't care, unless you're living on Mars. Okay. And if you haven't resolved that situation with forgiveness, if that person comes into this room, it will change you. Bad day? Oh, honey, your day will get rock my home. No. You either want to get out of here or you want to get, you know, something to take them out. I don't know what you're going to do, but don't, please don't do that. Here's my little illustration now. It's in my pocket here somewhere. Everybody take out a dollar. If you don't have a dollar, steal one. On the backside of a dollar, I want you to, everybody get your dollar out. At the top of the pyramid, there's an eye. Now, people are prophesying, oh, that's the devil. He's been on our money all this time. I'm here to remove that illusion from you. The founders of our country, they had a particular man. I think I wrote down his name because it's one of those hard names to pronounce. His name was Pierre Sumitier. He was employed by our founding fathers to put together a part of the seal for the United States. And that little eye that's above the pyramid is to represent the all-seeing eye of God that sees and knows everything. That's where it came from. So all your little, you know, conspiracy theories, let it go. Just let it go. What I'm trying to say is God's watching you all the time. His eye is inescapable, and his eyes are upon the righteous, but also on unrighteousness. God is your protector. The all-seeing eye is on the, every time you pull out a dollar bill, remember that all-seeing eye is watching you. What you spending on, too. You better watch yourself now. Believing in Jesus is experiencing the supernatural. Demons cannot withstand the power of the name of Jesus. He says, in my name, he says, those who believe on me are going to cast out devils. Now, I do not put a shingle out in front of your house and say, I cast out devils. Don't do that. Because you don't have time to take care of all these demons, okay? But when one comes to you face to face, you can say, in the name of Jesus, you got to go. In the name of Jesus, I don't accept that. All devils do not run around in red union suits with tails. Some of you need to know that. Divine intervention that will protect believers from that which could seem to be fatal. He says, you know, in my name, they'll cast out devils, speak with new tongues. If they take anything deadly, it won't be fatal to them. The filling of the Spirit, which I don't have time to get into that today, is available to those through speaking in tongues. You can dispute that all you want to, but he says, in my name, they will speak with new tongues. That's what the Bible says. Jesus said it. It wasn't somebody else that said it. Hello? Believers will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I'm going to give you these last seven things and I'm done. There's not 10, there's 7. How about that? That's pretty good. We must be willing to move from belief to action. I didn't do these series of messages to say, well, you know, more reasons to believe in Jesus, just for you to say, oh, God, I got all these reasons to believe in Jesus. Now let's do something with it. Oh, you thought this was just an exercise of futility just to tell you all the things? Well, let me tell you of all the possibilities of what could happen if you yield yourself to God. No, that wasn't what this is about. This is to release you to do those things of God. Number one, you must be willing to move from belief to action. What does it take? Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on you. Get rid of your embarrassment and call on Jesus and tell him what you need. If you're blind, get some healing for your blindness. If you're lame, whatever you need, call on Jesus. Don't let the crowd keep you from doing that. Number two, faith and belief have no impact without the willingness to sacrifice. This is not about money. The greatest thing that we have to sacrifice is our pride. Of what people think of you. And you know, honestly, you really don't want to know. Well, you're having a pretty good day. Let me move on to number three. I could stay there for a while. I'm going to leave it alone. The enemy will try to undermine your walk with those two words, doubt and skepticism. There was actually a time when Jesus went to a particular city, and the Bible says he did not do many miracles because of their... Do you know that you have the power to shut down the miracle working of God with your unbelief? So I got something for you. If you don't believe, hit the road, Jack. Don't be holding us up with your unbelief. Or just confess, Lord, I help my unbelief. Lord, I want to be healed from unbelief. I don't need to expose anyone today, but that's something we need to do. Let me move on to number four. We're just about there. The Word of God is our foundation for everything we do as believers. If it isn't the Word, we're not going to do it. Is that okay? There's all kinds of philosophies and doctrines and methodologies and books and, you know, seminars. You know, son, I don't have time. I'm going to stay with the book. And let Jesus be Lord and of everything. Number five, don't doubt in the darkness the things God has shown you in the light. Today you're going to hear some things, you've heard some things, and I'll tell you what, tomorrow's going to be another day. When you get home tonight, the darkness of things, of circumstances will close in on you, and all of a sudden, well, yeah, pastor preached that, but you know, it doesn't really make any difference. This is my reality. No, it's not. This is your remisery. Hello. Number six. Rely on the Holy Spirit for direction and truth. And righteousness. The Holy Spirit has been active and is active right now in dispelling the darkness in your life. Choir, you can make your way up here. I'll do number seven and then give you a statement. Remember the three elements of belief. They are faith, fact, and feeling. So what? Faith is in the Word of God, of what you've heard about Jesus. That's what the blind man's dealing with. But unless he confessed the fact, there would have been no reason for there to be a healing. He says, have mercy on me, I'm blind. Until you're willing to admit what your problem is, don't expect deliverance. Just be honest. Say, Pastor, today, I need forgiveness for issues that I have that only Jesus can take care of. This is my problem. And number three, feeling. You see, the feeling, you say, well, how's feeling aligned with an element of belief? Because we allow our emotions to come under the control of the Holy Spirit, and he changes the way we feel about situations of whether it's going to happen or not. The ultimate reasons for following Jesus are, he talks more about repentance than he does about forgiveness. Check it out in the Bible. Repent, 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 repent. The other thing is, he talks more about surrender than he does salvation. That's what we need to do. He talks more about sacrifice than he does happiness. Here's the last one that may frighten you a little bit. He talks more about death than he does life. He's like, oh, Where'd that come from? And when you were dead in your trespasses and sins, Paul says, and Jesus came along and made you alive. Because until he touches you, you are dead. I'm not dead. I can't. No, honey. Honey, you just meandered your way in here. If you're born once, you die twice. If you're born twice, you die once. Got the picture? The born-again experience is what we must all have in our lives. Everyone bow your heads right now. Everybody, 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 everybody. Holy Spirit is so amazing because he tells us various things, gives us things to illustrate what's going on. But the one thing I want you to take away today, and a reason to believe Jesus, is a blindness factor that we can experience that's been our reality for a long period of time. Until we hear about Jesus, and we're able to believe that this Jesus we've heard about is able to intervene in our situation. The thing that will happen is you'll find people who will try to stop you from believing in Jesus. And sometimes that person that's trying to stop you is you. Because of disappointment, because of things that didn't work out the way you thought they were going to. So I'm going to pray specifically for folks in that arena, and then I'm going to ask you to respond to Jesus. And I'm not going to tell you how to respond or what to respond to, but something that God's planted in your heart today. You say, you know, Pastor, I need to respond to Jesus today, whether it's for salvation, whether it's for healing, whether it's for deliverance. I need to come to Jesus. And I'm not going to let anyone hinder me today because I believe he's able to do that. Father, in the name of Jesus, I cast out doubt, fear, frustration, memory banks of things that have happened or didn't happen.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.